Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to our special Easter broadcast. Oh, what weather we're having. It seems like just about anything can happen. One day you'll be mowing your yard because it's spring. That night there will be a hard frost and snow the next day. Someone once said, if you don't like the weather in West Virginia, just wait a moment. It'll change. Well, today, as I mentioned, is our special Easter program. And in just a few moments, I'll be bringing you a brief Bible lesson entitled A Borrowed Tomb. But before we do that, we want to play some music for you. And I suppose it's no secret to anyone who listens to the program regularly, but I am a big fan of the music group Phillips, Craig, and Dean. They're probably my favorite Christian music artists. And I don't know if you know it or not, but they have released a project of songs just for kids. And today on Easter Sunday, I thought we'd go a little upbeat. I know a lot of times people like to do things, especially for children, on Easter Sunday. You've got the Easter egg hunts and all of that. And so today, just for the kids, a little something special for Easter. And we want to play for you a song from Phillips, Craig, and Dean's CD entitled For the Kids. And you may think that this is Donald Duck and his friends singing, but it's actually Phillips, Craig, and Dean singing Jesus Loves Me.
Well, I'd kind of like to do one that just features me, if y'all don't mind.
Can we sing with you?
Well, I guess if you have to, but if you just kind of wait and don't interrupt me while I'm getting my glory. Sean, give me the key of G for Jesus.
Well, now that we've shown you how well they can do at impersonating Donald Duck, maybe we should play another song in which you can hear them sing with their regular voices. This one also is just for the kids, and this is called the Ubble Song. You'll see what I mean in just a moment. This is Phillips, Craig, and Dean.
There was no sunshine or laughter. Friends and smiles seemed so hard to find. There, like a rainbow of colors. color. Jesus' love came and it filled up my life.
He made me unlovable, lovable. It's unbelievable how he could ever care enough to make me unhuggable, huggable.
Fitting, feeling like a song with no rhyme. Then he gave my life rhythm and set me in motion to his perfect time.
He made me unlovable, lovable. It's unbelievable how he could ever care enough to make me huggable, when his incredible love came in my heart.
Listen, gone are the frowns since his love came around. Wanna share what I found with everyone that I see and tell them how he made me unlovable, lovable. It's unbelievable how he could care enough to make me unhuggable, huggable, when his incredible love came in my heart. When his incredible love came in my heart.
When his incredible love came in my heart.
All right, and finally, now a song for the whole family. And in keeping with our Easter Resurrection Sunday morning theme, this song is from Phillips Craig & Dean's album entitled Let the Worshippers Arise, and the song is entitled My Redeemer Lives.
I know you rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin. I believe. He's taken away. My pain is healed in his name. I believe. I believe. So I'll raise a banner. Cause my Lord has conquered the grave. My Redeemer.
All right, and as promised now, a brief Bible lesson entitled The Borrowed Tomb. And this is our special resurrection Bible study for you on Easter Sunday. I much prefer to refer to Easter Sunday as Resurrection Sunday. It is the day in which we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. From the Jewish calendar, it should properly be called Feast of First Fruits. And certainly Resurrection Sunday or First Fruits would be a better name than Easter. Some people have shown some evidence that the word Easter possibly comes from the name of a false god, Ishtar. I'm not sure about that. I do know that in my research I have found that the one place in the King James Version of the Bible where the word Easter is used, it is actually a mistranslation, and many other translations show that in the original language, the word there was simply Passover. For my text with this lesson, I'd like to read from Matthew's Gospel, the 27th chapter, verses 57 through 60. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. By way of introduction, let me tell you that there is something significant about the burial of Jesus. And to illustrate that significance to you, let me give you a little bit of background into the cultural importance of purchasing a tomb in Bible days. Let's go back to the book of Genesis and read the story that tells about how Abraham, the father of all the Jews, went to great lengths to purchase a burial site for Sarah that became a burial site for the family. The Bible says in Genesis 23, beginning with verse 2, speaking of Sarah, she died at Kiriath Arba, that is, Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went to mourn for Sarah and to weep over her. Then Abraham rose from beside his dead wife and spoke to the Hittites. He said, I am an alien and a stranger among you. Sell me some property for a burial site here, so I can bury my dead. The Hittites replied to Abraham, Sir, listen to us. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will refuse you his tomb for burying your dead. Then Abraham rose and bowed down before the people of the land, the Hittites. He said to them, If you are willing to let me bury my dead, then listen to me and intercede with Ephron, son of Zohar, on my behalf, so he will sell me the cave of Machpelah, which belongs to him and is at the end of his field. Ask him to sell it to me for the full price as a burial site among you. Ephron the Hittite was sitting among his people, and he replied to Abraham in the hearing of all the Hittites who had come to the gate of the city. No, my lord, he said, listen to me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of my people. Bury your dead. Again, Abraham bowed himself before the people of the land, and he said to Ephron in their hearing, Listen to me if you will. I will pay the price of the field. Accept it from me so I can bury my dead there. Ephron answered Abraham, Listen to me, my lord. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver, but what is that between me and you? Bury your dead. Abraham agreed to Ephron's terms and weighed out for him the price he had named in the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver, according to the weight current among the merchants. So Ephron's field in Machpelah near Mamre, both the field and the cave in it, and all the trees within the borders of the field, was deeded to Abraham as his property, in the presence of all the Hittites who had come to the gate of the city. Afterward, Abraham buried his wife Sarah in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre, which is at Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave in it were deeded to Abraham by the Hittites as a burial site. You can tell from this passage of the Bible, it was not sufficient for Abraham to simply have someone allow him to use one of their grave sites. He was determined to purchase a place for a burial site. He insisted upon it. And even when they were going to give him a burial site that would be exclusively his for Sarah, he still did not want it given to him. He wanted to pay the price to purchase it. And this was actually something that was taken up, the family burial site that belonged to the family. This was part of the Jewish culture coming down to them from Abraham, the father of all the Jewish people. We find that the Bible tells us in Genesis 25, verses 9 through 10, that not only did Abraham bury Sarah there, but when Abraham died, he also was buried there. The scriptures also tell us in Genesis chapter 49, verses 29 through 33, and Genesis chapter 50, verse 13, that Abraham's son Isaac was buried in that same cave, and then Abraham's grandson Jacob was also buried in that same cave. Skipping forward now, coming up to the time of Jesus, the time of his death and his burial and his resurrection, we can read in Matthew's gospel that Joseph of Arimathea came and obtained the body of Jesus after Jesus died on the cross, and Joseph of Arimathea used his own tomb to give as a burial place for Jesus. Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. Now, this was actually very fitting for Jesus to have to borrow a tomb for his burial. Let me read to you from the New Testament in Luke chapter 9, verses 58 through 60. Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Now, I looked these verses up in the Believer Study Bible commentary, and Luke chapter 9 and verse 58, the commentary says this: Jesus had friends at whose home he could stay. But in this verse, he figuratively portrays his rejection and impending sufferings. And regarding Luke 9 and 60, the verse that says, "Let the dead bury their own dead," the Believer Study Bible commentary says that this acknowledges that the proper duty of the Son to bury the Father must be made secondary to the claims of Christ. The dead who are to do the necessary duties are obviously those who do not respond to Jesus' call. And so we can see that it is fitting that Jesus would have to borrow a tomb for his burial. Not only that, but the manner of his burial is a great proof to his resurrection. Let me read for you from Matthew's gospel once more, and this is chapter 27 and verses 62 through 66. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go. Make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. So we see that at least in these two instances, if not more, the burial of Jesus was significant, especially in that he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and significant in the fact that Roman efforts were put forth and executed by soldiers in order to make sure that Jesus was not stolen from his tomb. And this sealing of the tomb and setting a guard was certainly not normal. And this is in itself a great proof that his resurrection was indeed a historical reality. We can see from this that Jesus Christ himself was not concerned with funeral planning, although that was an important thing in his culture. He only needed a tomb temporarily. Jesus simply wasn't concerned about preparing for his temporary burial. he was planning for eternity. Now let me contrast that with the church. Why did Jesus die? He died to purchase the church, his bride, with his own blood. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 records the words of the Apostle Paul saying to the elders, the church overseers, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of God, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he has bought with his own blood." Why did Jesus die? To pay for our sins, to purchase unto himself the church, his bride. The tomb in which he was buried was only temporary, but the church is his permanent possession. So he purchased it with everything he had, his very life and his lifeblood. His purchase gives us assurance of present and future salvation. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14 says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And this word earnest is translated in the New International Version as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. The scholars who gave us the Believer Study Bible commentary said of this verse, "A guarantee is a good faith down payment assuring the completion of the transaction." Again, Jesus' tomb was only temporary, so he only borrowed it. But the church is his permanent possession, so he purchased it with his very life's blood. And this purchase gives us assurance of present and future salvation. In closing, I hope I've illustrated for you today that the resurrection of Christ is a permanent reality, as shown by the borrowed and empty tomb, and that the purchase of his church is likewise a permanent reality. Let's receive the benefits of his purchase and confirm its permanent reality in our lives. We must first of all believe on Jesus, which includes repentance and water baptism in his name. The seal of faith is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you can receive the baptism of the Spirit today. Just like people received the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, and they spoke in another language when the Spirit of God came into them, the same thing can happen to you. The same experience can happen for you today. Many millions of people worldwide have received the baptism of the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and this happens routinely in our church. I encourage you to seek the Lord and make his resurrection a permanent reality in your life. Honor him with regard to his death, burial, and resurrection. And this Easter, make the resurrection real in your life. Obey Acts 2:38, and you can receive the baptism of the Spirit today. I encourage you to obey the gospel, just like those people did in Acts chapter 2 when Peter preached the gospel to them. The conclusion of his message in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, 37, and 38 says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." We've got time for one more great song by Phillips, Craig, and Dean, but before we play that one, let me remind you that today is the deadline for placing your angel food order for this month. Go online to cac.us.com/angelfood to see the menu and order form. And now from their album, Let the Worshippers Arise, this is Phillips, Craig, and Dean singing Be the Praise of My Heart.
Not just a song that I sing to you, and not just emotions that I'm going through. You know me well, you see my life, the good and the bad. You see beyond the face that I wear, and you see my soul laid open and bare. Here in this place, this is my hope, this is my prayer. The praise of my heart, the worship I bring, the life that I live is the song that I sing. Let it be real, each note that I play, every moment of every day. Be the praise of my heart, be the praise of my heart, be the praise of my heart. Not just with my lips and not from afar, let me draw close to the beauty you are. Here in your heart, see in your face, that's my desire.
One thing I ask, one thing I seek, to dwell in your house, to sit at your feet, to look in your eyes, to gaze on the one that makes me complete.
Listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.